young Nigel says he's happy. He must be happy. He must be happy. He must be happy in his world.
Welcome back to another episode of Off Topic Radio.
Yes, we are back, Carl. And I'm not on the phone this time. I'm back to my my Skype line.
You know, everybody commented about that last time, that they could tell you were on a phone and that you sounded better the other way.
Of course, of course.
And that's totally
contrary.
Son Romano
and them don't even make fun anymore because they know how it is.
Right, and it does sound better. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. It's easier for me also, you know, even using the headset on the cell phone, on the iPhone, it's still a hassle. You know, it's not as easy to hear, and, I like the headset better.
Yeah, absolutely.
The real headset, I mean.
So how you doing, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. We didn't get a chance to go over anything, so we're doing like we, normally, or we've been doing lately.
Flying by the seat of our pants.
Winging it.
But
I actually wrote notes, so I can kind of guide you, Carl.
I'll follow your direction then.
Hold but my hand.
The reason that hold my hand, the Grim Reaper. The reason that we haven't been able to talk is because you have been given the prestigious task of being the guy to throw the after party for the Houston show this weekend, right?
The Junior USAs. It's a national level show. And it's a Lee Thompson and Trey Bennett event, and they moved it from South Carolina here to Houston. I don't want to talk too much about it because we got Lee coming on, and he's going to want to talk about it.
No, I know, but I want to talk about the fact that you are actually going to be the go-to guy. You're going to be the Jason Deere in Houston this weekend, right?
I'm hoping to make it more than just Houston, but yeah, this is the first of hopefully many. Now, I got to tell you, Carl, I only had like 4 or 5 days' notice to really start planning this. So when you're planning an event or a party or after party for, you know, hundreds of people, usually it takes more time than a few days, you know? So I'm doing the best I can with limited time and limited resources. But, my goal really, Carl, is just to have a lot of people from the contest go, because that's really what makes a good party. It doesn't have to, you know, what it comes down to is it doesn't necessarily have to be the best music or the best ambiance or even the best food and drinks. It's really all about having a really good after party. It's about getting the people there.
And that's a really good point because a lot of the after parties that I've gone to, none of the people that are supposed to be there are there. I mean, lots of the fans are there. I mean, not to take away and drop names.
Well,
but
we went to talk about the one we went to.
We went to Detroit.
Tons of people there. It was a nice club.
But there were nobody from the show. We went to the
Troy. Nobody
right,
was there.
It was the show here in Phoenix after the Phoenix Pro that Troy Alves, who lives here in Arizona, it was his named show, his named after party. It was a really nice club called Club Mist, dynamite place. But there wasn't. We were the only people from a bodybuilding competition in there.
Yeah, it was us, and then there was one other little group that we ran into. I can't remember. It was one pro, a 202 guy or something, and that was it. In a club of, you know, maybe 1,000, maybe more than 1,000 people, probably.
It was packed.
It was
great.
I mean, it was
thumping.
Packed.
Yeah, it was great.
But it didn't matter that it was packed. That wasn't the idea. We weren't going to. The idea wasn't to go to a dance club. You know, a popular club where there's loud music and lights and stuff, if you're not going to be there with the people that you wanted to hang out with in the first place.
Right.
That's really what made the Arnold after party so great this year, wasn't that it was in BOMA, which is a cool club, and it wasn't the ice sculptures and the crazy shows that Jason Deere put on or any of that stuff. The really cool part was being able to bullshit and hang out with people that you know and you like and that have something in common with, you know?
And really – to see the people, the pros, loosen up and be themselves and in a casual environment like that where they're more approachable. It's really – yeah, you're right. That's absolutely it. If it's just a great club and a great environment, it doesn't mean anything unless the people that you've been spending time with all week long whole week.
Or if you're a competitor, you've met people backstage. You know, that's how it is when you're a competitor, you know. Even an NPC competitor, you know, you bullshit and hang out with people backstage because there's a lot of waiting.
So what are you going to do? To lure more people from the show to the after party?
Okay. So these are my plans. Okay, Carl. Now this is, I'm going, as soon as this is over tonight, you know, we're doing a little bit of a abbreviated show so that I can go meet with the club owner, at 9 or 9:15 my time. So as soon as we're done, I'm going over there to talk to him. So this is, you know, this is the wishful thinking. Okay. Cause it's not written in stone yet. The first thing that I've got him to change that I think will make a big difference is that we will be able to eat. Okay, normally the place they stop serving food at a certain time at night. The place stays open till 2 a.m, but they don't serve food, you know, till 2 a.m.
That's
in the morning,
it.
Generally.
That's it. That's the, you just named the one thing that you need to do to get a guy
right.
who's been starving himself for 16 weeks and
right,
a gal that's been
right.
starving himself
so,
for 16
so where
weeks.
Where this place is located is Stafford, Texas, which is around Sugar Land.
You know
area.
What? You're a fucking genius. You realize that?
I know. When I saw the menu, I'm like, man, this has got a really good menu. It's got everything from steaks, you know, it has filet mignon. It's got fried food. It's got fish. They've got, you know, hamburgers. They've got, you know, good appetizers. They've got great desserts. Their chocolate bread pudding is awesome. They have drinks. But the problem is if they stop serving food at 11, you know, and the show's over at 11 or 10:30, then now you've got all these people, competitors who are leaving, and people, media people, you know, everybody, they're going to have to go to IHOP or Waffle House or Denny's, you know, because that's
right.
the thing that's going to be open at that late hour.
Right, and no one wants to go to a Waffle House unless – Ben White is going to be there because it's going to be boring.
Right, exactly. And the food is, you know, it's okay. Waffle House is okay. But if you can go to a real restaurant that's serving real high quality, good food, and be able to hang out with the people that, you know, were at the show, that competed, the audience, you know, I think that's a big plus. So where we created, me and Stacey Thompson, Lee's wife, we created a flyer, which we use my new logo, the Jubaka Productions logo. And,
I thought that was pretty. I think that after I thought about it, I thought after I knew why you were looking to create that name, it's a good name for a company that is throwing parties and stuff like that because it's campy. It's kind of funny, you know.
Palumbo liked a wandering Jew.
The wandering Jew, which is also a plant, but also someone who tormented Jesus, right?
Well, a mystical figure that tormented. There's no real wandering Jew, but if you Google wandering Jew, you'll come up with. A story that was created in the 1200s around that time of a Jewish person or a peasant, a merchant, they say, that was there witnessing the crucifixion and Jesus's walk, you know, to be crucified and yelling at him, come on, quicker, faster, and then laughing at him when he was being crucified.
Right. And then also a little known fact about that is that same Jewish individual stood at the crucifix while Jesus hung there and said, give me $50, I'll pull the nails out. And of course, Jesus had no clothes. He had no pockets. He had no money.
I thought you were going to say this was a relative of mine or something.
No. I don't think
so. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know if I wanted to be associated with somebody who, you know, yelled at Jesus or laughed at Jesus in his last hours, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Although the name is Wandering Jew Productions is a, it's catchy, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody could come up with a really good logo for that one, because I got the Jubaka logo already.
Right now, Mel Gibson is is starting a corporation called the Wandering Jew Corporation, and he's going to go around and torment Jews with it instead of
he's
Christmas.
Creating it as like a propaganda,
yes,
right? Like,
yes,
like,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So what else am I going to do, Carl, is we're going to try – this is the plan is I'm going to try tonight to go – and convince him to give all of the athletes and people, ticket holders, a free drink or appetizer when they come.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So when they have a ticket from the show, a night show ticket, they'll be able to exchange that night show ticket stub for a drink or appetizer.
I have a great idea, but I can't tell you on the air because it's that good. Myself and two other friends of mine almost opened the club in Las Vegas when I was living there based on this idea. And I'm going to tell you what it is later. And I promise you, if you do this, this is going to be huge, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to do it for this show, but you might be able to plan it for some future shows.
Well, there's a lot of other things that, you know, we'd like to do in the future. You know, Lee is going to have more shows here and he obviously already has a few shows, you know, in Houston already. Junior USAs, I'm sure, will come back here next year. So, you know, there's definitely stuff in the future. And then, you know, like I said, I'd like to do this, expand this into, you know, Europa shows with Ed and Betty Pariso, You know, they're going to have four shows next year. If I could do the four after parties and start planning in advance, that would be great, you know?
You know, I hope you're really successful, because then I'll have juice when I come to these. I won't have to wait in line. I'll be able to, like, I know
you,
the guy.
You hope so.
I know the guy.
Stand in line.
Oh, Aaron, would you do that? I know the guy who runs this place. Hold on. I'll get us in. That'll be funny. And then you'll be like,
I'll go up there and be like, I don't know this guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the bouncer will go in and go, there's some guy, and he'll come back out. He goes, Aaron says he doesn't know you.
I'll be like, but let his girls in.
Bring him. Let the girls in, but to keep them outside.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. And then, you know, like I said, my goal is, you know, obviously there's not going to be like a lot of money to be made or anything like that doing this. The goal is really just to have a good time and get this show on the right foot, started on the right foot.
You already got the first ingredient. Having food being served would be, you know, actually eventually to have like a buffet that's available.
Well, what we could have done, Carl, and I opted not to because of the lack of time, is we could have had it at Lee's Gym, which is very close to the event center. This place that we're talking about is 3.6 miles away,
right.
So it's already close. Lee's Gym is a little farther than that, one-to-one in Sugarland. If we had more time, you know, we could have done it where, you know, we moved the equipment out of the way, had a DJ come in, cater food, you know, all kinds of good food, and really make this an event. You know, charger cover and everything.
Well,
and
so you know, like, there's no cover charge this time, right?
No cover charge this time. Exactly.
Yeah, see,
it's free.
If you start doing a cover charge, then you can do an open buffet and you can do some fun.
Yeah,
things.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to do that eventually. Something like that to that extent, just not this time. There was no way to do that with this amount of time to do it the way I'd like to do it, you know?
Right, right, right.
Let's move off this, Carl. I wanted to talk.
I just wanted to say one other thing. You've already got one major ingredient, and that's food. The other thing is naked women.
Well, we'll have to do that next time.
Okay. Okay. Let me handle. I want to hire those. I want to hire that. I want to be the person that makes the choices for what
you never
naked
know, Carl, if the party's really good, and some of the bigger competitors might get in the spirit. You know.
Hey, man! I can't be there. I can't believe I'm not going to be there. Oh my God.
You could hire Carl. We could hire those girls that ALRI had at the Olympia that you thought were strippers. Maybe we could get them to write amount of money. You know,
then they'll strip, right? Exactly.
Maybe if you were right, if you're really right.
Yeah, I was right. Go ahead. What else?
Let's go. We're gonna segue back to the junior essays, but let's talk about people were mad at you last week.
At me.
A lot of people. I received emails, Facebook. I received some PMs on RX, and right. even on Get Big, I got a few. Thing that Carl was a bitch, or that Carl was too easy on Amy, right. Or you know, so I wanted to let you respond to some of these people.
There's nothing. Well, first of all, I'm always going to do something that pisses somebody off. I've been on radio for 5.5 years now, and there's always somebody who doesn't like what I do. And I respect everybody's opinion. You have a choice, you know, to not listen or to just ignore what I say. But Amy was afraid to come on the show because she didn't want to be bashed. Let's face it. All of those people out there who feel that I went too easy on Amy, let me arrange to have you on the show, and we'll do some research about you, and we'll rip your new asshole on the air while everybody listens. I have a funny feeling you won't come on the show.
Right. And she was very hesitant.
People,
I don't know if we talked about it in detail, but before the show had started, you know, up to the last minute, she was still debating if she was going to do it
right.
or not.
And she actually wouldn't answer the call during the break. When we went into the first break and I was to call Amy, she wouldn't take my call. And I asked Aaron, what's going on? And I think you said she locked herself in the other room or something like that, didn't you?
Yeah, she was upset, you know. And I said, honestly, I was nervous about it too, obviously,
right.
You know.
And I said, you tell her that I will not be harsh with her. And the truth of the matter is I never intended to be harsh with her, because when we did the breakup show, I was being supportive of my friend, and I was also trying to provide good radio, and those two things kind of gelled together, and we did the breakup show. But I've never had anybody on the show that I've attacked. That's not my style. If you want that kind of style, you got to go back to Blockhead and what's his name? Special J.
Whatever.
Yeah, Special Ed. You know, I've never attacked anybody on this show.
Right. It's true.
Why am I going to start now? And so she was afraid to come on the show because she thought I was going to attack her. And let's face it, she's a young girl. And she doesn't have the thick skin yet that many of us who are older and been through some shit and found out, hey, you actually lived through it. So she was afraid to come on the show. So I gave her my word that I would not. And the other reason I let her off the hook is because fuck all of you who think that you've never made a fucking mistake that's embarrassing, and all of a sudden you want to listen to somebody else get their ass.
And also, Carl, you have to give her credit that she did admit it.
Balls. You know what I mean? Balls.
She did. She admitted everything, and even when you gave her some chances to, you know, slip out of some blame.
Well, I tried to give her an opportunity to kind of just at least maintain some composure, save face. But she admitted what she did wrong, and she beat herself up. I didn't need to attack her. She was already admitting everything. It wasn't like she was ducking it and going, no, I didn't do it. Then it would have been a different story. What do you mean
people,
you didn't do it?
People got mad. I think some of the people got upset because they felt like you didn't call her on the fact that she was saying that, you know, I didn't give her enough attention. I was on the phone too much. And then they jumped to the conclusion that she was saying, you know, so it's okay that I cheated on Aaron.
Well,
when in reality, I don't think that's really what was going on, and I don't think you know, I think that if people were intelligent and they're listening, it doesn't need to be repeated, you know, necessarily.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. She stated the facts already.
Yeah.
And she didn't justify what she did.
Right. Ultimately. That's what I meant.
Justify it. She was just explaining, you know, what was happening at that point in time, and that was
right.
All. And let's face it. You were on the phone a lot, and you and I even talked about that you got to carve time out not to take phone calls from everybody in the world who wants to call you. You even admitted, we talked about that one time. This is way before all this shit came down, because you were getting phone calls from potential advertisers and stuff, and it was like you were in the middle of dinner, it was late at night, you were going into the movies, and you had to come out of the movies. And I said to you, Aaron, I don't take those fucking calls, man. When I'm done working, I'm done working. That's it.
Right.
So,
It's true.
Anyway. All right, so everybody that was upset with me, I'm sorry I didn't do the interview that you expected me to do, but I did the interview that I felt comfortable doing, and that's it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about my new job search.
Okay,
you want to talk about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, basically, I am people. You know, I am now looking or exploring opportunities to do. Nutritional supplement like rep sales here in Houston.
Right.
And it's a weird deal. I didn't really expect to be going back to doing this. And so I'm going to be driving a lot and busier a lot. So my leisurely schedule, it looks like, will be changing.
Right.
So it's a little little scary, I guess.
Disconcerting. Yeah, but you'll be able to adapt, because don't forget, when we first started the show, you were working for a company and driving, you know, 100 miles a day.
Right. I'm in a different place now, so it'll be interesting. Also, you know, when I'm driving, hopefully I'll be able to make all my phone calls, you know.
Now, I will say this. For those of you who want to keep Aaron from having to go take another job, step up and advertise on Off Topic.
Yes, that's true. If you don't want me to – or even if you do, don't mind me working. Please, if you're a supplement company out there, yeah, give us a shout and sponsor the radio show for sure.
There you go.
It's a good point, Carl. Good job.
Yeah.
Like that.
I'm always selling, brother.
Yeah, I like that. So I was noticing a week ago, you did a show, The Six Foods That Work, on Superhuman Radio with,
No, I haven't done them yet. We, there was a cross and wires. The show is actually the, September 1st. We're doing The Six Foods That Work on September 1st, but it's going to be.
Oh, I thought you'd already done it.
No, we're going to be doing a different form of it too. I think it's going to be a little bit more interesting than some of the shows that, Dave has done in the past. But we're going to have Dave Pulcinella. I had not intended to have Dave Pulcinella on the show, and not because I don't think he's a great resource, but I feel like he's done a lot of those shows already. It's like, okay, you know.
What shows are you talking about?
You know, he's talked about The Six Foods That Work on the internet, I guess. I feel like he's done an interview with Dave Palumbo, didn't he?
I don't think so.
Okay, but I know that
he's talked about it on Pulsing Radio.
Well, and he's done threads and threads and threads and talked about it, I guess, in on the internet in threads, different forums and stuff like that, maybe. So, but we're going to do the show on September 1st. We got a really great show tomorrow.
Well, I want to say, Carl, okay, Ed Big has taken notice of the new Pulcinella show. I thought it had already happened, but there's a lot of Pulcinella hate going on in Get Big. It's amazing. You know, somebody posted there that he's doing the show with you. And just the amount of hate for Dave is overwhelming over there.
Well, there's a lot of hate for me too, I think, over there. I think I read a post there one day where they commented that Carl Lenora hasn't met a supplement that he didn't like. You know, right. And they everybody takes issue with me because I promote the advertisers. I wonder if they take issues with Muscular Development Magazine or bodybuilding.com because everybody has to promote the advertisers. Otherwise we can go to, listener-based radio, like public radio, and everybody can just send me $5 a month to listen to the show. Which actually, I'd make a ton more money if I charged people $5 a month and had no advertisers at all.
Oh, just can you imagine? We'd be rich.
Fuck, forget about it. So anyway.
The problem with that is that people don't, not everybody pays the $5.
No, and no one wants to pay it. Let's face it. Nobody wants to pay, for radio. I don't give a shit how good it is. So,
right.
You've gotta have sponsors. But yeah, they people are always gonna say shitty things. They say shitty things about Dave. They say shitty things about me. So it ought to
certainly say shitty things about me.
Well, yeah. It's anybody who sticks their head out of the hole gets hit in the head with a hammer. You know, it's like that game, the mole, hit the mole.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting. Tell us about the show coming up.
We have two great shows coming. Tomorrow we got PJ Braun on. He is now officially the Superhuman Radio resident personal trainer. And we're going to do a show on building big arms. And let's face it, if you're going to take advice from somebody on how to build arms, PJ's the guy.
Right, of course.
But then Friday.
23-inch arms.
Right, legitimately.
Yeah, for 23-inch arms.
But Friday we have a great show. A great show. Friday, we're doing a show on an anabolic steroid that has been pretty much forgotten that has all of the muscle building and strength gaining benefits of Trenbolone without any of the side effects. Now,
who is doing the show with you?
Well, a lot of people don't like him, but he's the best person to go to. You know, I'm going to say already, Anthony
yes,
Roberts.
I know.
Yeah, but when it comes to this sort of stuff, I have
Anthony
to go to
Roberts.
Him. Yeah, because he does the research and he understands the science. And keep in mind, he didn't come to me with this show. I found out about this and I called him one day and I said, "Have you ever heard of this?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "And I mean, it's an old steroid." He goes, "No one uses it." I said, "I know." I said, "But look at some of this information." And so
people forget that, you know, because Anthony does his blog. I think people forget how much he really knows about the steroids.
Oh,
stuff.
I know. And then all of a sudden he sends me a schwack of studies. And I'm like, where did you find these? I couldn't even find these on PubMed. I couldn't find them on HighWire. And he goes,
saved them. I'm sure he saves.
Oh yeah.
Everything.
The guy isn't, he's like an unbelievable resource when it, and so I said, "What do you think?" He goes, "You know, it looks like, on paper at least, it looks like it would be an amazing drug." And he says, "But the problem is you can't get it. No one has it. No one makes it. No one bothers with it." I said, "Well, why don't we do a show? And then maybe after we do the show, there'll be renewed interest in it." He goes, "Okay." And so we're doing that show Friday.
You can't buy stock in this drug.
Yeah. Well, you can, but you just have to buy it illegally.
You buy it in China, right?
Yeah, you have to buy it in Chinese, in China. So we're going to be doing that show on Friday. That ought to be a really good one as well.
Let's talk about our Olympia plans. It's just around the corner now. What is it? 6 weeks, I think, to the Olympia?
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's coming up, man.
I'm gonna let loose, baby. Stay out of my way. No, I'm not kidding.
Asking us what are our plans for the Olympia. Are we gonna be doing a live broadcast?
No, I don't want to work. I don't want to work at all. I really don't want to work. I just want to hang out with friends and see people. I'm looking forward to seeing Dave Palumbo and Jeff the producer and Nick Palladino. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing people. I just want to hang out and hang around. You know, I'm sequestered. You have to remember, you go places every weekend. I'm taking care of an 85-year-old woman, and all I do is work.
And you're coming by yourself too, so it's just me and you.
That's right. That's right.
Wow, we're gonna have fun.
We're gonna rip it up, brother.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Now I'm working on getting us the press passes. We'll see what we can do. I've received word that it looks positive, but I need to get on it full fledged tomorrow and figure that out. You know, it's funny. The I think there was a misunderstanding, Carl, that they thought that we wanted backstage passes. And that looks like that was the misunderstanding. When in fact, nobody other than, you know, Flex guys and then some VIPs get backstage passes.
Yeah, and I don't want to go
backstage. We're doing a radio show.
Right.
Obviously, there's not a whole lot of reason for us to be backstage.
Right, right.
So that's what I've been told was the reasoning, is because they couldn't justify giving us backstage passes. And I said, you know, we've never gotten backstage passes, and we weren't requesting.
And we're not asking for now, right?
Right. Right. So, you know, that's hopefully that was the problem, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So You're gonna get down. You're gonna drive down to Vegas, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just a 4-hour ride for me.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That makes it a lot more reasonably priced, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm gonna. If anybody wants to know, I'll be staying at the Tuscany Suites. My favorite property to stay in when I go to Las Vegas.
Are you really staying there?
Yeah, I love the Tuscany Suites. Yeah, it's off of Flamingo and Paradise.
Did you already get us rooms for that?
No, I didn't get you rooms there.
So I'm on my own. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody, I'm booking my own room. I didn't think I was booking a room for you.
Oh, okay.
Well, we can talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. We'll work that out. But I'm going to be staying at the Tuscany Suites because they have really nice rooms, very big rooms, and it's
that's where you met last year. You met the what was it
the fat
people,
yeah, the fat gay convention, yes,
bear thing,
right. Oversized gay guys.
You think they'll be there this time? You hope so.
They may. You know what? Come to think of it, that was the weekend I met them last time, so they probably will be there this time.
Oh, that's great. That'll be good. We'll have to get that on camera.
I'm going to bring a couple of them to the Olympia. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So
I saw the movie The Expendables.
I did too.
What did you think of this movie?
I saw it. What did you think of it?
Oh, you saw it. Okay.
I've been going to the movies lately. I went to see The Expendables and Dinner with Schmucks recently.
Well, I would like to hear your review on both of these. Well, I haven't seen The Dinner with Schmucks. I don't like the name.
I thought The Expendables was a good movie. I know a lot of people gave it a bad rap, and I realized that the movie was designed to stand on the reputation of lots of famous actors. But I thought Mickey Rourke played a really interesting part. I thought Stallone played a really good part. And it was a traditional Stallone movie. What I expected is what I saw, and I thought it was good.
I agree with you. You know, I went in there expecting an 80s action movie.
Right.
That's exactly what I got.
Right, right.
So I liked it. You know, I went in there expecting action and not a whole lot of plot. And, you know, if you went in there expecting anything else, then, you know, you're going to be sadly disappointed.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. None of Stallone's movies have ever been very cerebral. Let's face it. Adrian!
I liked the part. Remember the part where they just barely make it off the island?
And they come back and spray him with gas,
yeah,
and blast him.
Gasoline.
That was a tight scene. And I liked the guy. He played the assassin, the guy who was his cohort.
Jason Statham?
Yeah, I really like him a lot. And I happen to like him. I think he should have been the new James Bond, personally.
Yeah, he would have been good.
Because he looks like he'd carry the weight. He looks like he can fight. The guy that they picked for the new James Bond looks like, Dan Quayle's little brother. I mean, he should be, you know, in politics, not fighting people. So.
Dan Quayle's little brother on some juice, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. That he would have been a good James Bond. I wonder if they ever considered him.
I don't know.
So how about Dinner with the Schmucks?
Dinner for Schmucks or Dinner with Schmucks was a very cute movie. I did like it. It's the guy who – I can't think of his name. The guy with the glass, Steve
David
Carell.
Schwimmer?
No, Steve Carell. He wore glasses at times in the movie. He was really very
Paul Rudd. It was Paul Rudd and him
and Steve. Yes, and I like Paul Rudd, by the way. I really like Paul Rudd. But Steve Carell was really fantastic. He makes the whole movie worth watching. He's just so believably funny. The things that you forget that he's acting, and you really think that the character's real for a couple minutes. You know, it's pretty cool.
Mm. Well, I haven't seen that one yet. I've gotten kind of mixed reviews on that one. So
I went to see it because my youngest daughter went to see it. And it's not a bad movie. I mean, I don't know if it was PG-13 or R. I forget what it was. But there was really nothing in it that was very vulgar. But my daughter went to see it. And she said, you know, go see it and we'll have something to talk about. So I went to see it one night by myself. You know, I went to the movie.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what we do. She tells me about television shows that are her favorites right now, and then I watch them. And then when we talk, I'm like, oh, did you see it? And the interesting part about it is it's not really hard for me because deep down inside, I'm a kid at heart. So I like a lot of it. I mean, my daughter Sid and I, we watch SpongeBob SquarePants. I enjoyed it more than her sometimes, I think, you know. I mean, I thought Patrick Starr was great. I loved Patrick Starr, and I thought so we have a lot in common, and I watch the shows, and then we get to talk about it.
That's funny. Yeah, well, I'm missing True Blood. I finally rented the end of season 2, and now True Blood's, you know, and they've got this new show that's coming on HBO. You heard about this new one?
Which one?
About the, like, the, about the, time of, it was like Prohibition.
Yes.
The
30s. It's about Boardwalk or something.
Yes. Martin Scorsese is the director.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that. It's about Atlantic City, actually, is what it's about.
Yeah. I need to get HBO just to watch that.
I missed this last episode of True Blood, but I'm going to watch it tomorrow night on demand. But True Blood, in my opinion, I don't know if they got some new writers, but it has stepped into a totally new realm of interesting. I mean, it is. I can't even wait for the next episode now to come out. It's amazing.
Wow,
it's so good.
That just makes me sad.
It's so good. It is. It's a totally new dimension. I swear. I bet you they found some new writers, or the writers that they have now are just doing a little bit of acid once in a while, because it is the fucking best.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah.
Are we, this is time, right?
Yeah, we can go into a break.
Hey, I want to do these shout outs at the very end of the show, since I put up the thread late. I gave the information to Jeff very late. You know, originally the show was going to be our normal length. And then, you know, because of the having to go meet the club owner, I have to change things. Also, I had a hard time getting in touch with Leo Ingram, who was going to be on the show. He's been in Japan. He did the Dallas Europa show. He's got guest posing dates. So it's been, you know, kind of. I'll just have to move him, you know.
So he's not going to be on tonight, correct?
Not tonight. So it's just Lee Thompson. And then it'll unfortunately be a brief, or fortunately, however you want to look at it. You have a little more people, have a little more free time, because we're not going to 2 hours and 30 minutes tonight.
And I just can't believe that I am not able to come to your first event. I wish I could be there, man. I'm almost thinking, I wonder if it's worth it for me to try to find a round trip airfare into Houston and out, because I could stay with you, right?
Of course.
Okay. I'm going to look into
it. Are you actually considering it?
I'm thinking.
You're just saying this for the show.
No, I would love to be able to come in. I mean, you're throwing this big event. I'm going to know the guy who's, like, running the show. Come on, you kidding me?
Oh, you're bullshit.
No, I swear to God.
I thought you were serious for a
second. I'm being sincere. I am, man. I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I am. I would love to be there for this. Because, you know what? Then maybe I can look back at this, like, 5 years from now, when you're, like, a Jason Deere of a different kind. And I'm like, wow, I remember being at your first show. Remember how that was?
I can tell you one thing for sure, that I will not be like Jason Deere, dressed in a Velcro, a head-to-toe Velcro suit.
No?
With different color contacts. And no, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Only Jason Deere could pull that off with a chainsaw on stage.
And I want to just say that we're not suggesting that you're going to ever upstage Jason Deere, because his style is totally different. So.
Yeah, he's got Columbus locked down.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Lee Thompson on the show. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm going back to Delhi. Going back to Delhi.
I don't think so.
I'm going back to Delhi. Going back to Delhi.
I don't think so.
I'm going back to Cali. Shaking them, baking them. Taking them to spots they never before hung.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking, and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingemanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Combat! Attention! You have just entered a battle zone.
It's time for us to find out who's really the best with the freshest crew. No time for words, we're through with that.
We want to thank our music director, GX, for selecting the music for tonight's show.
Yep. Thank you, GX. I spoke to him right before the show, so...
Yeah.
That's the first time I talked to GX on the phone in quite a while. So.
Cool guy, man.
Nice talking to you, buddy. He's listening.
He's really a really decent human being. You know, there's a lot of people on the boards that you meet that really have very little redeeming qualities, and then there's a lot of people that do. And he's one of those guys that if you didn't meet him on the board, you'd still want to be a friend of his. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You find that you meet a lot of people in person that have no redeeming qualities from
no,
the boards?
No, I've been fortunate to meet a lot of people that do. But then again, you know, I know that there's some people out there that are less than desirable. And, you know.
I mean, all right.
You know, the boards are a microcosm of life. And, you know.
I know. Yeah. There definitely are people. But I don't usually meet the people that are the assholes on the boards and talk the shit. They're not usually the ones that come up and introduce themselves.
Or they don't even go to the shows quite often. You know, they're kind of working in the periphery of the environment as opposed to being, you know, directly involved. So
that's true. It's true.
Anyway, so we have, I guess we could say
yes.
notable
NPC,
royalty.
Texas chairman.
Right, right.
IFBB pro judge and a friend of mine.
Bodybuilding,
Haley, how you doing, buddy?
Bodybuilding royalty.
Yeah. Thank you, Aaron and Carl. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show tonight.
Of course, of course. We had to have you on, Lee. We've got the big Junior USA is coming up this weekend.
Is it ever, you know, and I was trying to make it home to get on the call, and, you know, being in Houston, you know, you always find a wreck somewhere, and, you know, I found one, and we've been out all day, both Trey and myself and Stacy and the group of volunteers we have that are trying to get Houston prepared for all the fine competitors and fans that are they're coming from across the country, get this area ready, and there's a lot of excitement here.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, the last time, you know, God, you've been talking about having this show for, when did you find out that it was officially moving and you started this planning?
We actually found out last November it became official at the Nationals in Miami.
Right, that's what I thought. So this is really taking that long, planning wise, to get to, this is for this event to come to fruition.
Yes, I mean, you know, when we decided to make the move in November, I mean, of course, venues are usually booked a year in advance, and I had to make some movements and some scheduled adjustments with, you know, existing show that I had to be able to facilitate the venue that I love so much here in Stafford that I thought would be, you know, suitable for a national level show and that the competitors and fans both would be comfortable and enjoy.
And it really is a great event center, the Stafford Convention Center. It's a auditorium seating, so everybody gets a you know, stadium seating.
Yes.
You get a real good view, and there's a raised stage and everything. And, you know,
Hey Lee, are you outdoors by any chance?
No, no.
Okay.
It's on his cell phone.
Yeah, but because do you hear that noise, or it's starting to go away now? There was like a loud whooshing noise there, but it's gone now.
I moved my air conditioner vent. Does that help?
Oh, yeah. The air conditioning vent was blowing right into the mouthpiece, I bet. That's what it was. Okay.
Like blowing in your ear, Carl.
There you go.
Carl would like that.
Yeah, I haven't had none of that action in a while now, Lee, so.
Be careful.
Glad I could help.
And that goes for any of the women that are going to be at the Olympia. You may want to be careful.
So, Lee, tell us a little bit about what goes into planning a show of this size.
Wow. The first and foremost for me and Stace and Trey and Shannon is the competitors. I mean, we want to think about them and do something, you know, first class and first rate. So, the first thing we thought about was the venue, where to host it. The second thing was hotel and location to food and dining. It's always nice if you're connected to the center, but 90% of the time that's not a possibility. But we wanted to be right where there was food and there was dining and there was entertainment for the athletes, because at the end of the day, when the show's over, it's time to have some fun and a good time and celebrate. And we've done that with our hotels. But we also wanted to make sure that the hotels were inexpensive and make this trip to Houston affordable for people. Flights from anywhere around the country or round trip less than, I think the highest flight I've ever seen for competitors around coming to the show is probably like $400 round trip, and that's coming out of New York. The hotels are, $90 a night. It's just, we wanted it to be affordable. So getting out to the community and working with, the various, restaurants and hotels to make this, a feasible, location for our competitors. Cause at the end of the day, it's an expensive sport. And, we want to try to help them out as much as possible. And then, secondly for us was being able to provide a venue and an avenue for our, sponsors to be able to get out and get the word out about their product and be able to display it and let as many people get out and touch it as possible. So, we wanted to make sure that we've had good advertising, good radio play, thanks to folks like yourself. We put out flyers, thousands of flyers. So we're getting, making sure that our sponsors also get their money's worth. To me, promoting is a bridge between the competitor, the sponsors, of course, our national organization, set up by our president, Jim Mannion, and our fans. And if we bridge all four of those together into a unique chain, then it's a special event and everybody wins.
Absolutely. Now, the show was previously run just by Trey Bennett, and that was in South Carolina. What made the move? What got this going to switch to Houston in the first place?
South Carolina is a tough geographical location financially to get to for most people. And I know Trey took a lot of hit. For instance, I mean, my flight just as a judge, Trey was forking out about $525. Yeah.
I remember looking for a flight last year, looking at the prices and being like, man, I could fly to Amsterdam for the same price.
Yes, it wasn't an easy location. It's beautiful. I love South Carolina. Just wasn't, cost effective for competitors to fly out there. And it really a geographical show. You had your Floridians, your Georgians and North Carolinians and a little bit more from the Eastern coast. But, this being here in the heartland of America and in Dallas or Houston, Texas is a economical way for everybody to participate on both coasts and in the heartland.
Right. Lee, with this show coming up, how many people, the competitors, that's one of the things you obviously have to consider as a promoter is the economics. Now, since it's easier for people to come to the show, were you expecting this first year to be, gangbusters? Or do you think it would start slow?
Honestly, I felt like we would see a reduction from last year, from South Carolina. you know, as you go around the, you know, around the country, you know, Texas is a very strong bodybuilding state. We've got some great pros and we got some tremendous amateurs. And, you know, most people know we have large amateur shows. And so I was a little fearful that, you know, folks might want to hold back a year just to see what the level of competition was and how the crowds, you know, would be and then, you know, what kind of show we could actually put on down here. And, you know, much to my surprise, as a chairman, I'm honored and grateful to all my Texas athletes who just, you know, they poured out. I mean, we've got, over 200 of them in the contest. But then I'm grateful to all those who came from New York, from Florida, Iowa, I mean, California, Washington. You know, we've got great support from a lot of folks, and, I'm thrilled. You know, it exceeded my expectations.
Well, that's awesome. Lee, talk about as from a competitor's point of view, why would a competitor, let's say, Mr. Let's say Ohio or something, you know, somebody who wins a state level show does Iowa or something, Mr. Iowa, and he wins a show. Why would Mr. Iowa want to come do Junior USAs as opposed to just trying to go get his pro card at Nationals or USAs?
Well, that's a good question, Aaron, and I think as amateur competitors, we forget that some of the shows that we were able to win, or maybe we win a title of a certain show, the level of competition just wasn't there, and we were, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else, and so, you know, in our minds, we see ourselves, we're ready to go, and then we jump up onto that USA or national stage, and we're like, you know, not even in the top 15, maybe in the last call-up, we're scratching our head going, you know, good gosh, I was, you know, I was Mr. Whatever, and I showed up here. The Junior USAs is an opportunity for a competitor to size him or herself up. Where do they stand amongst other national athletes? And giving them also the opportunity to work with national level judges. You know, there's certainly, you know, local level judges do a tremendous job. They're great at what they do and for how they do it. At the national level, it gets a little bit harder. Judges are looking for a lot more, you know, physique and symmetry and muscularity, and our eyes are trained to see better and to see more. You're also standing up there amongst, you know, 10, 15 quality people in your class, sometimes up to 40 in, you know, in the figure or bikini. So it's an opportunity for you to get your feet wet and, you know, to shake off the jitters, because you can, as a judge, I see people at the USAs, you can tell it's the first national show. Their lip is quivering, you know, their legs are shaking, you know, they can't hit the pose the way that you know, that you've seen them pose before. And they just jumped right there and they jumped in and, they were sink or swim. And, you know, their posing sometimes helped them sink a little bit.
Right. There's definitely something to be said about getting your name out there, too. I mean, when you jump into a class of 30 people or something like that, you know, it's if you have no experience and there's something a little bit off, you know, it's very easy to get overlooked. Look at, like, for example, look at Cedric McMillan, who did, you know, won the Junior USAs, and you see where he's at now, or Phil Heath, who did Junior Nationals. And, you know, I think that exposure has to help him, right?
Oh, most definitely. Not only does the exposure help them, but again, the experience. And as with our show, you know, we have exclusive coverage by Flex and Muscle Fitness Hers. You know, you're going to have MD. You've got every major magazine and, you know, web company coming out there. So you're going to get out there. You're going to get your name out there. And that starts to resonate in people's minds. So when they see you walk across the stage, you know, that's Aaron Singerman. You know, he won the heavyweight class at the Junior USA. Now you start to build a name. You know, not that Aaron, I saw you. You great.
Right, right.
Built, but,
let's
know,
be realistic here. Let's say Joe Blow.
I wanted to use you as an example just for flattery.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
you're,
that.
Because you're my friend and you would understand that it won't happen.
Wait till you see next year the Renegade Jew will be back at Junior Nationals.
There you go.
I don't think so, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit, Lee. I wanted to mention there, you are giving away pro cards, just not to the bodybuilder.
That's right. We give away, you know, two figure. No, I won't say giveaway. Competitors earn, their figure, bikini, and fitness, pro cards.
Right.
And some tremendous, you know, ladies have come out and, done quite well on the pro stage out of, you know, these junior shows. So again, for the ladies, it's an opportunity to line yourself up and see where you stand and know where you got to go back and work. And, you know, we're blessed to have, you know, great, you know, head judges, Sandy Rinaldi or Williamson today and, you know, Jim Raquel, who will be there. And you know, I think so highly of Sandy. Sandy takes a lot of time. She takes notes on every competitor. She goes backstage. She works with these ladies, lets them know, you know, what they need to improve on, as well as you know, the other judges. You know, we'll get out, we talk to these guys, and you're able to get a critique from a national level judge. And I think that benefits you tremendously as you,
let's talk about that for a second, because I do think that's interesting. When you provide a critique, how do you designate which judge looks at which athlete, and how they, because obviously, Lee, if you got 250 competitors up there, you're not going to remember every one of them to say, hey, no. You know, number 210, you know, you need to bring up your legs and, you know, you're holding water in their lower back. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, there's two ways. One, in MPC Texas here, the way I have it is at night, you know, during the morning check-in, we ask competitors if you want a written critique from a judge, they sign up for it. So during the morning show, we've got, you know, staff people who are assigning a critique form that, you know, talks about symmetry, you know, balance, muscularity, conditioning, suit color, hair, makeup. It's all filled out on the form. And then at night, those are assigned to an individual judge. So those individual judges are looking for your number specifically. You're going to have one judge whose eyes are on you while you're up there that night. And they're going to give you a critique form, and then we take it back and we put it on a table. That works great for a local level show.
Right.
A national level show, 99% of critiques are given is we will ask, you know, Sandy will takes a lot of notes, and she will meet with a lot of the girls because she does try to write down notes and she gets information from all the judges. But we ask that you email a front, a side, a back, and a comparison photo to one of the judges that were there. Typically, the competitors know which judges they're told, which judge to, you know, they can email, and they'll send those pictures to us, and we'll take a look at them. And, you know, will resonate with us, you know, your physiques for the most part. We'll remember, you know, what you look like. But the pictures are there, and then we'll give you a written critique, and you can use that. Or after the show, if you're talking to some judges, and I'd like to, you know, take just a second here, and a lot of times the competitors will come up to me and they go, you know, God, so-and-so said I need a judge, so-and-so said I need to bring legs, one judge said of my waist, and another said this, but, you know, they were all talking about my conditioning, but I don't know what to work on. As a competitor, find that common thread where we're human. We have different things that we look for. I have different aesthetics that I prefer over maybe what Big Steve likes and or Maz. But find that common thread. If all the judges said, hey, it's your conditioning, it's your glute hamstring tie-in, it's your lower back, that's the part you got to go work, because obviously it's glaring to everybody. And, it, you know, and use the rest to improve on, but use that common thread and work on that.
Right. Absolutely. That makes sense. And obviously that's a really good tip for any competitor. Take advantage of this opportunity. Because, you know, obviously you want to – that is a big opportunity to be able to send the pictures or go to talk to the judge. You know, that helps you make an impression that you care, you know. So obviously I would encourage everybody to do that.
That's what judges are there for. You know, we don't get paid to go judge on the weekends, and we do it because we love the sport and we care about the competitors. And, it's not bodybuilding royalty. It's not, you know, a fear factor. It's an honor and a privilege to serve as a judge, to be able to serve our customers, which are those competitors and sponsors. And that's what we're there for. We will talk. We want to help and see individuals succeed. There's nothing more delightful than to, you know, be a local level judge and watch somebody climb that ladder all the way to, you know, to the pros. It's an honor and it's a privilege. And, you know, all of us take it very seriously, and we're always here to help the competitors.
All right. Lee, let's move on to a totally different subject. Let's talk about, this is something, you know, I guess you kind of told me about your plans to build, of all things, an airport. it's been more than a year ago. We don't have a whole lot of time till the first commercial, but give us an idea of where this idea of an airport and what kind of airport we're talking about here.
Well, John Travolta was the first to have his own private airport where he could fly his plane, and have his house. And so I took that concept and my partner and I ran with it, and we created Aero Country East, which is a gated airport community for pilots and aviation lovers to have an airport that the landing strip that's privately owned, they can land on, they can have their hangar and their home all in one.
That is so cool.
I know, huh?
That is so cool.
Although
I got to tell you something, Lee, that gate's going to have to go up really high to keep those planes out.
Well, you know, I thought about that. Is I do sell fuel, and then we're going to have a restaurant out there. So if you want to land and refuel and grab a meal and spend a little money in the community, we'd love to have you.
And if you would like, on the weekends, I can come there and work a howitzer to keep the people out that aren't supposed to be in there. Okay?
Well, you know, after the guy that crashed the field, the gates of left field, we may need that.
But, you know, that's an amazing idea. I mean, it really is, because you have more and more people who fly private planes, and you know you're going to attract. If a guy's got a plane, he can probably afford to buy the house. So,
well, also, Lee thought in advance that the Dallas area, this is prime territory.
Oh, it's a hub. It's a hub for so many companies, because it's logistically wise, it's right smack dab in the middle of the United States.
Well, we are right in smack dab in the middle of Collin County, which is the fastest growing county in the country today, and home to more than 25 corporate headquarters,
right,
and growing every day. And We put this airport right smack in the middle of all those corporate headquarters. So that's where our business will come from for standalone hangars, which we do have. And then we also have residents, the townhome hangar configuration. So we will serve, a dual customer base.
Yeah.
What size are these houses? I know you've got a variety.
They'll start at 1,900 square feet, and the hangar townhome will go to 4,200 square foot. As we move into phase six, you'll move into 5,000 to 8,000 square foot homes.
So more of an estate, wow, estate type of a floor plan. So now, where will the hangar be? Will the hangar be like a garage, or will the hangar be off to somewhere else, like a dock, or how does that work?
In the townhome, it's actually almost, if you would imagine, a two-story configuration.
Right.
You'll come, you'll fly your plane, taxi into your hangar, and then you'll have a private doorway with an elevator that'll take you upstairs to your private residence. Your residence, if you will look over your hangar and over other hangars onto the runway, in a very open, very modern, but yet an industrial feel, of a residence. But it'll have a private elevator that takes you up, marble floors or hardwood floors. You'll have 992 square foot of balcony or patio outside that is livable space that you can, walk out on your patio and watch other planes take off.
How far away is the runway from the actual homes themselves?
Well, the runways is between the homes and the runway, there will be four rows of hangars. So there'll be about, almost 1,000 yards or so between.
Okay, gotcha.
Plenty of ample room.
But you know what I was thinking about, right? Noise. I was thinking about the sound of a turboprop coming in or something like that.
Yeah.
And, 2 o'clock in the morning and, that sort of thing.
Once you're soundproofed, you won't even be able to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. And you can do a lot with foliage and shrubbery to muffle and create baffles to deaden the sound anyways.
Absolutely. And as I said, the other rows of hangars in between your hangar home will muffle some of that sound, and then some of the engineering and architectural features that we've designed into the residence itself will take care of much of the noise. But the thing about pilots is they like that noise. That's relaxation to them.
No, I know. I was thinking of that before I asked the question. I was thinking, well, if you like flying, and you know what else? There's a phenomenon in the human brain called reticular memory. And if you sleep in an environment for a week or two, you become accustomed to the sounds, and they don't wake you up anymore.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. And yeah, I've never heard of it called that, because I'm not that smart, but I know wherever I sleep after a couple of days, I'm pretty much used to it.
Yeah, reticular memory.
I'm taking notes there, Carl.
So, Lee, what size airplanes are flying into this place? What's the plan?
Right now, we will take the smaller planes, the turboprops. We've got another 1,000 foot of runway that's currently grass that will expand into asphalt runway at some point here in the near future. Right now, some of our customer base enjoys grass runway because a jet can land on grass and or asphalt or concrete. So a lot of your old time pilots still enjoy the grass landing. And so we have, you know, some of our pilots who still want the 1,000 foot of grass runway. So,
well, the older guys, especially because the bumps from landing in grass is very relieving on hemorrhoids.
I'm sure that's what they were thinking.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had to go there. We have to take a commercial break.
Okay. We'll be back in just a second.
Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Lee Thompson. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
You give me that funny feeling in my tummy.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio. Our guest tonight is Lee Thompson. And we're talking about the upcoming show this weekend and lots of other things, too.
The airport.
Yeah, his development.
What's it called again, Lee?
Aero Country East.
I love
Aero
that.
Aero Country East. Will there be an Aero Country West?
At some point there will.
Oh, cool. This project is, when you first told me about it, you made it sound like it was like a side project, and it looks like it's turned out to be like a full-time gig for you, basically.
it has turned into a full-time gig. It is a, it's a very labor and time intensive. And, as a developer, and I'm a rookie developer, I'm learning the game as I go. So, but I've got a great staff and I'm very much a hands-on guy from, you know, when I was putting out the oil well fires to, you know, every other business I've been a part of, you know, to promoting shows. I'm very much hands-on. And if I don't know it, I need to know it. And, I want to know it because if anybody else on the project knows it, I want to be able to communicate and articulate, what it is that they do or how they do it or at least understand it. And, so I, you know, I'm learning a little bit about architectural, mechanical, you know, electrical and plumbing and just all kinds of great stuff.
Now, you know, this is a precarious time to be, in the land development business because lots of people are struggling in the land development business. But I feel that you have, garnered a unique niche here that almost attracts an extremely solvent potential buyer. And I think I have to commend you. I mean, I don't know if it was your intention to do it this way or what, but, you know, I know lots of, I have a good friend who's been in the development business for many, many years. And what's happened to him in the past 4 or 5 years has been, you know, very, very sad. I mean, he's still wealthier than many of us are, but he's lost a lot of his income. But I feel like you what you're doing here is almost recession-proof approach to development. I have to commend you.
Well, thank you. And knock on wood, God gave me a very special gift. I've been able to be successful at many of the businesses that I've had, and those that have, you know, taken downturns, I've been able to learn and use those skill sets to put in a toolbox. And my partner Mike Shell and I had with this airport, it was exactly to be recession proof. We wanted to go after a market of folks that weren't necessarily impacted, that had a lifestyle that didn't matter really what happens to the economy, they were going to continue to live that lifestyle.
Exactly.
And that was our market, and that's where we headed from day one. And I mean, as early as a year ago, we started to sit down with potential buyers and said, what would you want? What do you want? What is it you like about aviation and homes? And from that, you know, almost doing those snippets of analysis with folks, we were able to, you know, to design a concept that attracted people from California to Florida to, we've got a guy up in Nebraska who is purchasing one of our townhomes.
I know a guy I'm going to put in touch with you that lives in Minnesota.
And oh, excellent.
He's got a company called Core Products, and he flies himself everywhere. He had to meet me for a production. I produced a couple radio shows for him, and he flew his own plane down. This is when I was still in Louisville, actually. And he flew his plane to Louisville to meet me, and we talked, and he flies everywhere. Every place he goes, he flies on his own. He says, why should I get on a commercial jet when I can fly there myself? And I'm actually going to get your email address from Aaron, and I'm going to email the two of you and introduce you to him, because I'll bet money he'll buy a place and come down there.
Well, if he does, Carl, I'll take you to dinner.
Oh, no. No, that's okay. I'm happy to do it. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Well, maybe not a question, but a statement I want to make. We did a show not too long ago with somebody else who was getting ready to do a show, a bodybuilding competition. And we came up with a brainstorm called the People's Champ.
You're talking about with Tim Gardner.
Yes.
Tim Gardner was on the show. Yeah.
We came up with an idea called the People's Champ, and I would really like somebody to snatch this up and use it because I really think there's a great value in it. But aside from at the night show, aside from the other things that are going on, to have people texting to a number, same way you do for, you know, you vote for one of these shows that they have on TV, you know, America's Got Talent, you know, where the audience is literally texting, voting for the athlete while they're performing in the night show, and then those texts are gathered, and the person who gets the most text messages wins the People's Champ Award.
So he's talking about it at a pro show.
Yeah, well, or, I mean, but why does it have to be a pro show? Can't you do it at an amateur show as well?
I'm not sure that you got enough, you know, it certainly has had the potential, but I don't know if you have enough fan base. But Carl, to follow your lead, I've spoken with a few folks in the industry, and I like the idea. I wanted to take that a step further, though, is childhood obesity is such a huge problem in our country. And wanted to take that People's Champ approach to some of these pro shows, or even to the Olympia or to the Arnold, you know, specifically, and get people to text in at 50 cents a text for their person, and to take that money from our organization and our sport and our world and donate it to a, you know, a charity that takes care of or teaches our inner city children about childhood obesity and works for their families.
I think that's great.
For our sport to give back to the world, to let the people see we are good people. We have good intentions. We are health minded and we have, you know, a lot of people who care about those in the world. And that would be something I would support wholeheartedly, as long as we were able to raise some money to help, you know, support childhood obesity.
And you know, you would, because you could say, you know, people can vote as many times as they want, which is what they do on those TV shows, you know, America's Got Talent and stuff like that. Call
at
this
the Olympia,
number.
People would definitely do it. There's thousands of people there.
And
there's,
you know,
thousands of people watching on bodybuilding.com.
Oh, you just
could make the donation in the name of the People's Choice winner and give them a nice, you know,
people,
trophy.
I hope you guys do that. I really, really do. Because I think that it does a few things. Number one, it makes the audience feel, a lot of times the audience, and we know this and it doesn't matter, but a lot of times the audience doesn't agree with the outcome, right? So this gives the audience a chance to have a gravity in the outcome of their own little judging award, if you will, the People's Champ, where they can say who they like the best, number one. And it gives them a more interactive feeling at the show, as opposed to just being a spectator. They actually feel like they're involved more. And then, and the charity, tying it into the charity, just puts a halo on it that makes you say, wow, this is just really good for everybody. And I hope you guys do it. I really do.
I would support it wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right.
Well, Carl just gave us a good segue. He said a lot of times people don't agree with the end result of the people in the audience don't necessarily always agree with what happens at the judging table. So that's what I want to bring us to, something a little controversially. At the Europa Super Show in Dallas, you were sitting on the judging panel, and I'm sure you'll remember when the final results were announced, there was a lot of boos. More than usual.
I was sort of like Ronald Reagan. I don't know that I recall that, sir.
Well, you're going to have to ask Nancy now.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I mean, there's always a little booing, but this show is particularly loud and overwhelming, you know. And so, what I want to ask you about it, I guess the real. Let me give you an idea of what people are saying on the boards. You know, there's stuff from as crazy stuff as that. You know, Rich Gaspari paid for Mark Alvisi to be second place. To, you know, that Cedric McMillan, you know, that Muscle Tech didn't pay enough. That he got.
Well, first of all, I know Rich. I'm not, and he's a great guy, but I don't know if you, me, or anybody else would pay for second place. You know, so
that's
I think
true.
that's almost humorous, but. I find that, you know, that's crazy. Anybody would pay for second place. First of all, you know, why wouldn't you want to win the whole show? And second of all, nobody takes any money for those things. But I understand where you are, Aaron. I went and watched a good friend of mine compete in Jacksonville, Florida, being yourself, actually, and sat back in the crowd, and I sat, you know, 10 rows back for prejudging, and over to the right, and. You know, I saw some things that, wow, in my mind, I was watching the judging and going, wow, that's sort of, I don't know. I don't know that I see that. At the night show, I sit, you know, down in the front, you know, front row over to the left-hand side, and I was looking at it and going, now, wait, I did not see this morning. And so to segue where you're going with this is why people don't always agree things, and then I'll get specifically on this one, is, 1 to 2 rows, left to right, 9 to 10 rows, right to left to center, you do not see everything. Even being as close as we are, being in the center of the judges' table, to being judge number, you know, 1 or number 12, things are different.
Sure.
Give you another good example. The gentleman who trains here at my gym, John Sherman.
Yeah, of course.
He did New York Pro. I know John very well. I see him train all the time. I'm sitting at the judges' table as judge number 2, and John was on the far right side, and I could have sworn that he had a torn quad. He had a gaping hole in his quad. And I'm like, when did he tear his quad? Now, you know, because aesthetically it wasn't pleasing. I asked to have him moved for the very last call out. I asked, we were finished pretty much judging, but I asked for John and a few others to be brought back out so that I could see him. And then when they brought him back out to my side, I just know he was just that cut. There was nothing wrong with his quad. All three heads were in and attached. He was just that cut. He was that deep.
Wow.
So, you know, you're going to get a matter of opinions. And fans are biased. You know, we all have the people that we like. I watch, you know, NASCAR every Saturday. I want Dale Earnhardt, and I think he gets bumped and beat up, and there ought to be a bunch of black flags, you know, especially when he doesn't win. I get really upset with that. Or I got my favorite gymnast.
That's a really good analogy, actually. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I've got my, you know, Bart Connor was one of my favorite gymnasts in the world. And I think he got, you know, robbed, you know, countless of times, you know, but that's me. He's a guy that I could connect with, and I made that connection with. So as a fan, you know, we do have bias, and we do have those things. With Cedric, Bill, and Mark, those guys, you could toss them up in the air and let them land and have nine different results. There were nine judges on that panel. Nobody saw it, you know, the same way. It wasn't unanimous second place across the board. It wasn't unanimous third or fourth. I mean, Cedric and Bill were tied, and Mark, I believe, was a point ahead at the end of the night. And the tiebreaker goes to the post-down round, which Bill won over Cedric, so he gets third place. So, you know, conspiracy theories aside, and what you see and maybe what you prefer, believe me, there's nine people, and those nine eyes don't agree when it comes to writing it on the paper, which is why a high score and a low score, or in this case, two highs and two lows, are tossed aside, and then you're left with the middle numbers. And that's how you get to the end result.
So let's talk about this. This is something that a lot of people on the internet, and just people in general that I've talked to, have said. And you actually cleared this up for me earlier, which is interesting. In the prejudging, which with the Europa shows takes place on Friday in the afternoon and into the early evening, the last call out of the men's open, they called out just three guys, which was Issa Obiad, first place, or ended up our first place guy, Bill Willmar, who ended up in third place. And, of course, Cedric McMillan, which ended up in fourth place. And so in this last final call out, you had the top three guys. Everybody thought this is your top three. Mark Alvisi was nowhere in that top three. That's what people thought. So that's why a lot of times, you know, why a lot of people thought at the night show that this was already, you know, pretty much decided these are your top three. And so it was a big surprise when Mark got second. So tell us how that happened, that call out at the end. What did that mean?
Well, you know, I'll go back to an old saying my great-grandmother, God rest her soul, who raised me and taught me very well, would say, you know, shame on me for thinking, you know. no. The last call-out was a request by a judge. All judges can request any call-out that they want. The head judge is facilitating a look. And there was one judge who was in a quandary as to where, you know, he wanted – I think Bill and Cedric placed. And so he wanted to see them in comparison with, you know, the number one guy. And that was the call out. Doesn't mean it was one, two, or three that everybody agreed. And I think, as you know, I used to sit in the crowd too, and I still do today. One of my favorite things as a chairman is not to have to judge my own state shows, because I got a great group of judges here. I like to go sit out in the audience, and I'll find an empty seat and sit by somebody and just start talking and getting some dialogue going and helping, you know, understand what people perceive. And, you know, a lot of people go, well, they've got this one in the middle and this one over here and this one here. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? No. I mean, if it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and it was being signaled, then we only need one judge.
Right.
There are nine judges, and so you got, you know, you have to allow any judge to get a look at, you know, whatever they want. There was a call out, I think, in the middle there with Europa, where you had those three guys, Alvisi and Mark Schrull.
Right, that's right. That's right, there was.
You know, so you're going to get...
And people were saying Marcus Rule's going to be the top five? No, he wasn't.
Exactly. But somebody wanted to see him, how he stacked up against those guys.
Right.
So, no, was, you know, was it a total agreement that Mark was second and Bill was third and Cedric was fourth? Absolutely not. It was, you know, the overall consensus of how it all worked out, you know, based on, you know, how the judges vote.
Right. So, and when you look at the score sheet, Mark jumped up three spots, but that was just because strictly the math. It's how the math worked out.
Exactly.
I think that's the thing that people get lost on. They don't understand how it really, what it comes down to is the math. And it's not, you know, if you have, 3 second place votes and you got 1 first place, 1 fourth place, 1 third place, the guy who got second place is going to win.
Exactly. It comes down to the math, which is, it's why you have the highs and the lows and, you know, one or two highs or two lows or one low and one high thrown out so that it balances itself out. So it's a system that protects itself. And, you know, each of the judges are getting to put their opinion in there. I mean, you know, maybe I like Marcus Rule, you know,
sure,
you put him in that,
sure,
that one call out and maybe he's my number one guy. Well, you know, just because I was the only one that saw it that way, my number one vote for Marcus is going to be X'd. It's not going to count.
Right.
But it's a wasted vote, you know, but I could have ended up hurting, you know, Cedric in the overall, if you will, because I may have had him in a different position. So
right,
it's what I see as a judge, and that's very, very important.
I don't know, if you get a judge that's on your panel who throws out something ridiculous like that, do you talk to the guy later, or is it just,
no,
just
well,
gone?
Hey, again, you're not getting that was an example, and I don't mean that was ridiculous.
No, of course.
You're not getting ridiculous. I mean, We're professional judges. Everybody, you know, we have looks that we prefer. Just like as you as a bodybuilding fan, or, you know, hey, as a bikini fan, you've got your look that you want and the look that you like. Well, we're human too. And I like the small waist. I like small joints and I like aesthetics, you know, along with big, full, round muscle bellies. There may be another judge who's just a mass monster. That's what he or she would prefer. So absolutely, we're going to differ on the look, but that's why we're there, and that's why, you know, Jim Mannion puts a great deal of thought into how the panel is set up, you know, and those, that mix is very, very important to the sport and its integrity.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Lee, will you be judging at the Olympia?
I will be, yes, sir.
I have a totally off-topic question that I want to
ask. Go ahead.
Okay, Lee, I'm living in Phoenix, Arizona right now, and like many areas of Texas, you're allowed to carry a sidearm out in the open here. No, really. I mean, you know, it's kind of strange to be walking into a grocery store and you see a guy walk in with a, you know, a Glock on his hip. And, you know, I've seen plenty of belt knives, you know, knives and belt and stuff like that. But when you start seeing guns on pedestrians, it's kind of... it's odd. It's just not something you normally see. So I remembered something that a friend of mine who lives in Conroe, Texas, used to say to me. And I want to ask your opinion of this statement. Do you believe that an armed society is a polite society?
I believe an armed society is a very balanced society. I'm in favor of, you know, of guns and you know, the ability to carry. Because I think it's proven in Texas. We don't have a lot of carjacking because you don't know if that car you're coming to jack is packing or not.
Right. Right.
And so you might want to choose not to carjack, you know,
I bet you don't have a lot of road rage there. Or I know anytime I was in Texas and on business, especially with this fellow who's from Texas, he was so polite. Every woman was ma'am, and people are so polite in Texas. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that you don't want to piss somebody off that happens to have a gun in their pocket.
Well, you know, and it's, I hope it's not the guns that make us polite, but I hope it's that, you know, it's a hardworking, you know, it's a country, you know, it was raised on farmland and country and work ethics. And to me, I love Texas. You know, although I was raised in Oklahoma, I got back to Texas as fast as I could, but it's just a mutual respect for humans and society. And, you know, I go back to, you know, another one of my grandma's saying, if you ain't got nothing great to say about somebody or good to say, just don't say anything at all.
Right, right.
Sure.
You know, and respect each other.
I went up to a police officer. I said, you know, I'm originally from New York. lived in Kentucky. I've lived in Las Vegas. I've lived in California. I've never lived anywhere where people carry guns, sidearms. And I'm actually thinking, gee, this might be fun. Maybe I'll do it too. And I said to him, what do you think about it as a police officer? He goes, I like it. I says, you like it? He goes, yeah. He says, I'd rather know that the guy's got a gun than the guy who's hiding one. And I thought, that's really an interesting story. And so then I said to him, do you ever worry about getting into an altercation and, you know, that there's an individual with a gun? He goes, well, it's funny you should ask that. He says, statistically, the types of people who will bear an arm will usually be on the side of the law in a shootout. And he says, so it's nice having the backup when you don't expect it. I was like, wow, that's really interesting.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the people who are going to carry a gun out in the open 99% of the time will be somebody who is a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
I can't see. Yeah, I'll be surprised. Actually, me and Lee were just talking the other day about Lee had been to Israel. So you know, Carl, in Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces, they carry, you know, you'll see kids basically walking around
with high-powered rifles. Yeah, right, machine guns. Right.
We're talking about how the crime rate there is very low, because who's gonna do anything violent crime when you've got a bunch of kids with machine guns walking around?
Right. You know, the first time I ever looked at a full automatic weapon from the wrong end, I was asleep in the airport in Dubrovnik. I was in Yugoslavia and I was trying to get back home. And my flight didn't leave till the next day, so I fell asleep at the airport. You're not allowed to fall asleep in the airport at Dubrovnik. I didn't realize that. I was sleeping on the floor like any, you know, young guy does with my bag underneath my head, you know. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody kick my feet, and I look up, and it's a police officer with a fully automatic weapon strapped across his shoulder. And it was pointing at – he wasn't pointing it at me, but it was suspended from his shoulder casually. And he kicked me, and he started talking, and I knew what he was saying. You can't sleep here. I didn't have to understand the language to know what he was saying. And I went, okay. And then I'll tell you something, man. I have a lot of respect for guns in general, but when you see something like that you know can spit, you know, 100 bullets a minute at you, you get nervous real fast. I was like, I'm out of here. Don't worry about it. And I went out and found myself a restaurant. I bought a beer and I nursed that beer for about 13 hours. And the only reason I had to buy beer, Lee, is because the only word I knew how to say in Serbian was beer, pivo. So that's all I could order when I go to the restaurant. Pivo. That was it.
There you go.
So anyway.
Well, Lee, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, and I'm looking forward to. I guess I'll be seeing you on Friday.
Yeah, I'll see you at the check-ins on Friday, and we appreciate anybody and everybody coming out and supporting all the great athletes we got coming.
Absolutely, and Lee, everybody has got to go. The competitors, people are going to see the show. Any of the media people, everybody must go to the after party.
Yes,
that's right. All presence is required.
I was just on Priceline looking. And I can get round trip airfare to Houston and a rental car, fly in Friday, fly out Sunday for $318.
Wow.
Carl, we'll expect to see you out there.
Okay. I just got to find somebody to babysit my mother for me, my 85-year-old mother that I'm taking care of. That's the only challenge I have right now, man. So if I don't make it, it's because I don't have somebody to watch her. But.
You just bring her too, Carl.
Oh, yeah. You believe me, you'd have a laugh if she's got my mother at 85 years old. The barrier between what she thinks and what comes out of her mouth is completely gone now. So if she thinks it just comes out of her mouth, and she says some shocking stuff, I'll tell you that right now.
My kind of lady.
Yeah, there you
go. Guys, thank you so much. I'm finally out of traffic. I've been sitting in my driveway for about 40 minutes.
So all right. Thanks. For dinner. Thanks a lot, Lee.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks, appreciate guys. It.
Man. All right. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night, Lee.
It sounds like you guys are going to have a great time at this show, man. I'm going to see. I'm going to see if I can make it. I got to take a look at this here.
You're really considering it.
Yeah. I mean, for $318, and if I could crash, that doesn't include a room. I'd have to find some place to crash. Maybe there's
you've got a room to stay in.
I could stay with you?
Yes, of course.
Who else is staying with you?
That's it.
Oh, you. Okay. All right. I was actually going to say, look, if there's any girls in Houston that listen to the show and you wouldn't mind me staying with you, you know, but I mean, I could stay with you. All right, well, we'll talk about it.
I want to put that out on Facebook, Carl, so I might take you up on it.
There you go. All right, we'll talk more about it. And to everybody who's listening tonight, thank you very, very much for listening to Off Topic and continuing to support the show. And we really appreciate it, okay?
Yes.
All right, Aaron, talk to you later, man.
He must be happy. He must be happy. He must be happy in his world.